السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين ورحمة للعالمين، وصلى الله على آله الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. This week is the week of Maulid al-Nabi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all the Muslims and give the tawfiq to each one of us to be among the true followers of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a time to reflect on how close we are to the example and the seerah of the Prophet. In the Muslim world, we see two, examples which are really not positive ones. On the one hand, you have the Wahhabis who say that, Mata Muhammad. Muhammad is dead. Forget him. We have the Quran with us and that's it. Any kind of, gathering, honoring the Prophet, celebration of his viladat, this is all considered to be bid'ah, and forbidden from their point of view. So that's one extreme. On the other hand, we have people more out of ignorance and others who actually use those ignorant people for their own political agenda, who actually sometimes in the name of Prophet do things which go against the teachings of the Prophet. Look at this so-called law of blasphemy in Pakistan, known as Tawheen-e-Risalat, which means to insult the Prophet. Where they say anyone who uses, profanity against the Prophet, he is liable for punishment. Yes, Tawheen-e-Risalat is a serious issue in Islam, but when you talk about punishing people for that, especially to the extent of killing them, this is where you have to realize that, there are very, very stringent conditions for that. It's not anyone's, choice there. It has to be beyond any doubt that this was done knowingly and willfully. Unfortunately, what we see, for example, in case of Pakistan, most of these cases in the last one also in the last month, that all these maids and servants from the Christian minority, every few months we hear, the boss or the lady of the house is accusing that person of having saying things against Rasulullah. And immediately this becomes an issue of Tawheen-e-Risalat. And if you look at the circumstances, these are all, trying to settle scores for something else. Just because this person happens to be from a, Christian minority, they use this. And this is where we have to realize that even if you look at the Islamic laws, and I actually mentioned this 2 months ago, I think, in one of the khutbahs, that if they really study Islam, if they really go and study Islamic jurisprudence and fiqh, there is a whole section known as Kitab al-Qadha, the book of judiciary dealing with crime and punishment, the conditions for judges and how things are to be done. And one of the important things that a Muslim judge learns right in the beginning is that before you pass any judgment, you have to be absolutely, careful about it, especially when it is a physical punishment or capital punishment. You have to reach to the level of beyond any doubt. Because based on the saying of the prophet, there is actually a principle which guides them. أَنَّ الْحُدُودُ تُدْرَعُ بِالشُّبَهَاتِ, that physical punishments will be averted by any doubt. So if you have any doubt, maybe this person didn't mean that, or maybe he didn't know what he was saying or in what context what he's saying, then you cannot even implement these kinds of punishments. And this is where we see that, you know, how people say, as if Islam is only that one thing and nothing else. There's so many issues that they is totally ignored in that process. Look at the seerah of the Prophet. You know, this lady who lived in the neighborhood of Rasulullah in Mecca, whenever sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come out, she was told by the Prophet about, you know, different things. And she had a very negative image of the Prophet. And so to express her displeasure with his message, she used to throw garbage on him or on his path. And the Prophet would always ignore it. He did not react to that. He did not retaliate in kind. Did not even send some of his followers to go and harass her. But all of a sudden, one day, you know, he saw that this barakat are not coming. And so he asked people, what happened to this lady? You know, nothing happened to me today. And he was told that she is not feeling well. And what does the Prophet do? Doesn't say, oh, alhamdulillah, you know, Allah is punishing her. No. He goes, decides to go and visit her. It is very natural that initially, you know, she must have thought, yeah, well, you know, today he is coming to pay for all the things that I've been doing. But no, he sat down, asked about her, you know, very kindly. And this is where we see that, you know, she actually became among those who became the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, this story we hear from childhood. My late father was telling me once that in his tour of North America in early 80s, in New York, one of the teachers of the madrasa, the Sunday schools that we have, he was saying that a teacher in lower grades actually was talking about this story, and this can only happen in America or Canada. You know, when he mentioned this whole story, you know, a child raised the hand and says, why didn't the Prophet sue her? You know, this business of suing is very much common here, that even in this era of Rasulullah, they have this idea, why didn't he do that? But this is where we have to realize that, you know, the Prophet actually brought those who were on the opposite side towards himself and to his message by his own akhlaq. And this is where we see that, you know, this is actually based on the teachings of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, when he says that, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, you are on a higher level of akhlaq. In Surah Fussilat, which is Surah number 41, 33 and 34, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually talks about how to respond to such things. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّا دَعَ إِلَى اللَّهِ, actually the description is of Rasulullah and of course those who are his true followers. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنَ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنِّي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَ وَلَا السَّيِّئَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who can be better in his words than the one who calls people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does good deeds, number two. Number three, he says, I am from those who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And good and evil are not equal. And then Allah concludes here that لا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة, good and evil cannot be equal. ادفع بالتي هي أحسن. And therefore, you know, you should actually, when it comes to this issue of evil, repel evil with the best that you can. It doesn't mean best in evilness. It means do something opposite with the akhlaq hasana. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةً كَعَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. And Allah says, if you use this method of reacting in a positive manner, you will see that the person between you and him, there was adawa, you know, an enmity and hatred. كَعَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. He will become a sincere friend. This is the example of Rasulullah with this lady in the neighborhood. And what do we see there? You know, somebody does, let's say in Sweden, Tawheen Risalat, and our Muslims in Kabul or Lahore go and burn the property of their fellow Muslims in protest. Come on, just think about it. What are you doing? Isn't that itself Tawheen Risalat? You're insulting the legacy of Rasulullah by destroying property of the people who have nothing to do with what happened in Sweden, for example. And this is where we have to realize how far we have moved away from the seerah of Rasulullah. And may Allah give us the tawfiq, you know, to give that positive example and model in this part of the world, inshallah. In Ahsan al-Hadith, Kitabullah al-Aziz, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوبة وهو الغفور الرحيم. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العطوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المضربين بحلمه. ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه. سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة. أوصيكم عباد الله بتوبة ما سلف من ذنوبكم. In Surah Al-Ra'd, which is Surah number 13 of the Quran, verses 19 to 24, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, talks about those people who follow the true message. And he describes them as the people who are ulul albab, those who have intelligence and mind. And then he actually gives seven qualities of such people. And the last one is relevant to the theme that I had in the first khutbah, but it's important to go through it, you know, completely here. The first ayat, ayat number 19 of Surah Ra'd, says, أَفَمَنْ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ الْحَقِّ كَمَنْ هُوَ عَامَ. Means a person who knows, O Muhammad, that what is being revealed to you is the true message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can that person, the true believer, كَمَنْ هُوَ عَامَ, can be like a person who is blind? No. And we are talking about the blindness of the heart, not the sight. إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who reflect on these ayat of Quran are the people who have, you know, minds and intelligence. And then he describes, who are these people? Number one, الَّذِينَ يُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَنْقُضُونَ الْمِيثَاقِ. Number one, these are the people who fulfill their pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we say we are Muslims, it is kind of an agreement between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the ahd that we have, that we will follow him, his teachings brought by the Quran and the Prophet, preserved by the Ahlul Bayt. وَلَا يَنْخُضُونَ الْمِثَاقِ. And they do not then violate the covenant that they have between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So number one, to be faithful to our commitment to Allah. Number two, والذين يصلون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل. And those who maintain the ties that Allah has ordered for us to maintain them. Silatul Rahim. You know, maintaining the relationship that we have by blood or marriage. And this is an important issue that Islam has talked about it quite a lot in the Quran. Number three, وَيَخْشَوْنَ رَبُّهُمْ وَيَخَافُونَ سُوءَ الْحِسَابِ. These are the person who really fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not Allah's person, but they fear displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they fear the accountability which might go wrong for them on a day of Qiyamah. So they always worry about it. Number four, وَالَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِمْ. And those who maintain patience in that path of following Allah in different ways, they maintain sabr and patience, and by doing that, they actually are seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sabr is also an important element that Allah is mentioning here. Number five, then we come to things that we all always consider to be very important. وَأَقَامُ الصَّلَاةِ. You know, faithfulness in our commitment to Allah, maintaining the ties with the relatives, fearing Allah in the day of judgment, having sabr in following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though we have difficulties, we go through it for the sake of His pleasure. Then number five, وَأَقَامُ الصَّلَاةِ. And they establish or they do the prayers. And number six, وَأَنْفَقُوا مِمَّا رَضَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَّةً. And not only prayers, but they are the people who give in charity from what we have given to them. They do it سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَّةً, in secret or even in open, when they basically help the needy and the poor. And number seven, relevant to the theme that of the first khutbah, وَيَدْرَعُونَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ. And they repel evil with good. When evil is coming, you do not always have to respond with evil. You can do good in order to counter the evil. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عُقْبَ الدَّارِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes that those people who do this, not only that they are the people of intelligence, these are the people who will have the eternal abode in the Akhirah. And then he describes Jannatu Adnin Yadkhulunaha, perpetual gardens in which they will enter, and they will not go alone. وَمَنْ صَلَحَ مِنْ آبَائِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ وَزُرِّيَاتِهِمْ. Even their other family members, the parents, the wives, or the spouses and their children, who are مَنْ صَلَحَ, who have, you know, done good deeds with them on the same path, they will be with them. وَالْمَلَائِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ بَابٍ. And the malaika will enter their houses, you know, or their gardens from every entrance, and greeting them, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِمَا صَبَرْتُمْ فَنِعْمَ أُقْبَ الدَّارِ. You know, blessings of Allah, salam on you, for the sabr and patience that you exercise in the dunya. Even the malaika are doing salam for the sabr that people exercise in fulfilling the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَنِعْمَ عُقْبَ الدَّارِ. And this is indeed a good eternal or the abode in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be among the, you know, loyal followers of Allah and Rasul, and to maintain the path of the Rasul through the Ahlul Bayt, so that we can be worthy of the greetings of the angels, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen wa shafi al-Mudhanibin, Nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.